Amen, amen. Wow, hey, good to see you guys. Kelly, Ezra, well done. Hey, can we give them a round of applause? That was sweet. There's something great about simplicity, right? Can you guys feel me on that? Anybody like simple things? Can you be honest, yeah? Who likes really like overly complicated things? Well, ladies, I'm looking at you, right? Just kidding. Hey, I love what we just sang, right? I may be weak, but his spirit is strong in me. And I just want to kind of start tonight, my friends, before we dig in the word and just kind of talk about that truth. Like, I'm weak. I'm up here, friends, and I don't want to pretend to be like I'm this strong dude that's got it all together. I'm a weak person, right? And the beauty, though, is that in our weakness, his power is made perfect, right? And that's a verse in Corinthians that talks about being weak, but he is strong. And so I want you guys to know that even though you may be weak as well, Christ is so strong in you. And he loves you so much, no matter what weakness you're struggling with or what area you're messing up in or what area you're succeeding in. He loves you. He says you're good enough. And so tonight, as we dig into the word, we're going to be talking about this thing called obedience, right? And you guys have heard that before. And I want us to know that even though we're weak, right, we can obey God in his calling, and we can see God do amazingly incredible things. So tonight is about our mission. It's an encouragement to you guys, an encouragement to myself. It's kind of a call to action for us. Because what we're going to be talking about, I think, gets kind of swept under the rug so often, and we forget about the heart of Christ. And so the title of the message, my friends, is to stay active. Stay active. If you're taking notes, jot that down. You guys can open up your Bibles as well to Matthew chapter 14, verse 13. And we're going to be going through verse 21. I almost said chapter 21. That'd be like a lot of reading, right? Hope you guys brought your reading pants. Anyways, Matthew 14, 13 through 21. Did you guys know that there are certain types of fish that will die if they stop moving? Did any of you know that? Have you heard that before? Yeah. Legend. My man. It's because you're a genius. Like me, right? Okay. Just kidding. I remember hearing about that years ago at school. And my teacher was like, hey, yeah, so there's these type of fish that will die if they don't stop swimming. And I was like, maybe that's why Dory made up that song, right? Just keep swimming, just keep swimming. Anybody seen Finding Dory? Yeah. Me and Chantel and Berkeley actually watched it with us. She's 3.5 months, and she just like stares at TVs, and she loved it. We watched Finding Dory last night, and it was great. And speaking of great, how was everybody's Thanksgiving? Real quick, good? Yeah? Perfect. I brought free pie for all of you, by the way. Just kidding. Seeing if you're awake. That's rude. I'm so sorry. So sorry. But there's fish that will die if they stay inactive, if they don't swim. And that's because fish need to have water fill in their gills, right? Pass by their grills. Pass by their, where are their grills, man? What if fish had grills like Lil Wayne? Just like, hey, what's up? Yeah. That'd be crazy. So they need water to pass by their gills in order to filter that out. It's this crazy process. God's really cool. And in turn, they get oxygen, so they stay alive. So if they don't swim, if they stay inactive, they die. See, guys, so too with us Christians. If we aren't staying active, if we aren't moving, our faith is going to die. Our faith will die if we do not stay active. See, friend, we must stay active to see our faith grow and our relationship with God grow and our relationship with others grow and to be used fully. And by saying we need to stay active, I'm not saying you need to go pump some iron, right? I'm saying that we need to stay active spiritually. That we need to go out and live out this mission that Jesus calls us to. To go out and to see people for how he sees them. To go out and to share his gospel. To go out and to make disciples. That's the mission. See, this thing, this mission, right? To stay active involves this thing called obedience. And it's crucial for us, Christian. It's crucial for you in order to see God move. We live in a world that is all about numbers, right? Maybe the amount of numbers that follow you on Instagram. Maybe the amount of numbers, maybe how fast your car can go. Maybe how tall you are. Maybe how much weight you can bench, right? Or maybe how many tacos you eat, right? We're bombarded, guys, by living in a culture of numbers. It's all about numbers. And the world does a really good job about making us just feel like a statistic. Making us feel like another number. But guys, I bring this up because I want to get real with you. I want us to be real. I want us to dig at God's word tonight. I want us to leave tonight and be changed and to really see the heart of what we do. See, guys, God is a God that is all about the numbers. And we as Christians should be as well. And let me explain that. God loves people, right? Can we agree on that? Jesus loves people. God loves everyone. And see, God is a God that pursues people relentlessly. That's his mission, is to love his people. It's not to go out and to create new oceans and all that. That's great, but if you think about it, right, he created us to enjoy those things. And I say that because we are God's priority, his people, his children, his creation. He loves us. He pursues those numbers, those people relentlessly. I want to ask, do we pursue people the way God does? That's the first thing you guys can write down. We need to be in the pursuit of people. The pursuit of people. To stay active, we must be in the pursuit of people. Did you guys know that there are roughly 7.4 billion people in the world? It's a lot of people, right? It's crazy. If everybody gave you a dollar, you'd be a billionaire, right? It's crazy. It's nuts, man. There's so many people in this world. And I can't help but think of that famous verse, right? John 3:16, for God so loved the world. For God so loved the 7.4 billion that he sent his only son, so that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. Guys, God cares about people. He's all about the people, all about the numbers. According to some more statistics, there's roughly 2.2 billion Christians in the world, and that makes up about 31.5% of the world's population. So you do the math, that is about 5.2 billion people that do not know Jesus. 5.2 billion people that don't know Jesus, guys. It's crazy. The other day I was watching, and this is kind of a regular thing. Maybe you should check it out. It's like the worldpopulationclock.com. And it's just all these stats just like going up and up. And it's mind-boggling because you're watching. And by like 10 a.m., there's like 200,000 babies that were just born. And it just goes up and up and up. And it's crazy. I'm like, dang, man, that's nuts. And I was looking, and it was showing it was the death clock, right? And so by 11:43 a.m., my friend, there were already 80,300 deaths. By 11:40, not even lunchtime, and there's 80,000 people dead. It's crazy. And it made me feel kind of weird, like this website was almost cheapening death. Because I'm watching this statistic, and it's just up, 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 another one bites the dust. Yeah, right? Okay. Yeah, I'm like, dude, this is wild, man. People are just dying, and I don't mean to talk about this and have you laugh. It's an important thing. And I'm bringing this up for a reason. See, guys, I wonder how many of those 80,000 people saw Jesus face to face and were stoked, right? Like, my God, my King. And I wonder about the other part of that, maybe who saw Jesus and said, uh-oh, you're real. Right, guys, see, we are in important business as a Christian. We are in very, very important business. Like I said, the world does a really good job about making us feel like a statistic. Just another customer, just another number. But I love to go back all the way to Genesis 1. God made man and he said that we were very good. He made everything else. He said, all this is good. But he made man. He made us. He said, we are very good. Guys, we are valuable to God. I know you've heard that, but I want you to hear it again. You are so valuable to God. You're not just another number. You're not just another statistic. You are a human being made in the image of God that can breathe, that can smell. Maybe some of you can breathe. I don't know, right? Maybe you're like fish. You have to be moving around so you don't die. Crazy, right? But you're made in the image of God, guys. You're very valuable, very important. I want to ask you guys a question. If you don't mind just being honest, how many of you have felt like you're an outcast? I'm raising my hand. Yeah. An outcast, like you're the furthest out, like nobody cares about you, right? I've been there. And it's hard, right? Because you guys know that pain that I know. It hurts. Maybe you're being bullied right now. Maybe you feel like nobody cares about you. Maybe you feel like you're alone. But in case you feel like that, I want you to know that the truth is you're not alone. Do you see how many people raise their hands, right? You see how many people, you guys said, dude, I feel like an outcast. I want you guys to look around the room right now. Look at each other. You are valuable, right? The world says, hey, you're a statistic. God says, no, you're my son. You're my daughter. See, guys, we need to be here at Spectrum. It starts with us. We need to be a body, a family that loves people. That doesn't look at, oh, it's just another person. Or, oh, no, they're looking at me. What do I do? I'm sweating. I can't talk to people because I'm, right? Guys, we need to be all about people. We need to be in the pursuit of people because God passionately pursues us relentlessly. Guys, every number, every one of you has a name. You're very valuable. You're very loved. We need to love people. I was raising my hand earlier. I felt like an outcast at one point. I was bullied, guys. I was picked on. I loved playing basketball, but nobody would pick me to play on their team. Like, it hurts, right? And you guys, maybe you're in that same spot. But you see, guys, I have let God transform that pain into love. I've let God transform that pain into love. And now I have an eye, and I see people. I'm like, dude, why are they sitting by themselves? Why are they looking at the ground? Why do they seem so sad? And I have a heart. I need to go and talk to that person. And maybe that's you. Maybe you feel like that too. And maybe you're like afraid to do it. But I just want to tell you, guys, God has something special for you to do. Be in the pursuit of people. Have an eye for those people that maybe are hurting like you. Don't just be that fish that just chills in the tank. Like, oh my goodness, this is beautiful, right? No, dude, be that shark that's like swimming through the ocean. Like, yeah, get out of here. My name's Bruce. Yeah, right? Going down, like terrorizing. No, don't terrorize. Go around, swim, dude. Be free. Like, look for other shark mates and say, like, dude, let's go get some food, right? Like, you guys have the ability to live life with each other, to look at one another as being valuable, made in the image of God. Be in the pursuit of people. All you've been through is an experience, and you can either allow that to hurt and do nothing about, or you can allow it to hurt and do something about it. Right? My dad always told me, I'm going to quote him in his accent. He's like, yeah, code. You know, mate, everything you've been through is an opportunity to use your tool that you've used, put it in your toolbox, and minister to those kids who are hurting just like you. That's it, right? That's my dad. He's like, dude, you've been through life. You've been through stuff. You have a tool in your toolbox. Look out for people who are hurting. Look out for new people that come in, guys. Don't just be in your cliques. Don't just be like, oh, yeah, I just show up because I'm having fun. Like, why do you want to be here? Hopefully it's to hear the word, to worship, to be real about this. Because if you don't want to be here, guys, you're just wasting your own time. Like, we love you guys as leaders. We want you here. Like, we value you. We are in the pursuit of you guys because we've been through what you've been through. We know the outcome. It sucks. It's terrible. If you're in sin, it hurts. It's going to burn you. If you're not in sin, great. Keep it going. We want to encourage you. But either way, we are here for you, my friends. So take advantage of your leaders. Take advantage of me. Don't be ringing me in the middle of the night, like, can you buy me Chick-fil-A? Like, I don't even know if they're open that late, but Come talk to us. We want to pray for you guys. For real. The second thing you guys can write down is make it or break it. Guys, we must have obedience, continual obedience to do what God has us to do. In life, we have moments where we have the opportunity to make it or to break it. And this is going to take us into our Bible reading, right? Our text, Matthew 14, 13 through 21. If you guys have that open, let's read it now. This is a story of Jesus feeding the 5,000. It's beautiful. So we're going to read this, and then we're going to talk about it. Easy peasy. All right, let's go. Verse 13, when Jesus heard it, he departed from there by a boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the multitudes heard it, they followed him on foot from the cities. And when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion for them and healed their sick. When it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is already late. Send the multitudes away so that they may go into the villages and buy themselves food." But Jesus said to them, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "We have here only 5 loaves and 2 fish. He said, "Bring them here to me." Then he commanded the multitudes to sit down on the grass, and he took the 5 loaves out and the 2 fish. And looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke and gave the loaves to the disciples, and the disciples gave to the multitudes. So they all ate and were filled, and they took up 12 baskets of the fragments that remained of leftovers. Verse 21, now those who had eaten were about 5,000 men besides women and children. What a story. I want to go back to the first part of that. Jesus, he goes to this deserted place and he comes over and he sees this multitude. And did you catch that? It says, and he was moved with compassion for them and he healed their sick. I love that. This is such a picture of the heart of God, my friend. Jesus, the God of the universe, is moved with compassion for these people. Right? He sees them. So what does he do? He doesn't say, "Oh, how cute." No, he goes and he does something. He goes. And that's the heart of Christ, guys, to save, to heal, to forgive. We got to strive to have that same heart. When we see new faces coming in the spectrum, or maybe old ones that you've seen for weeks, months, years that you've never introduced yourself to, do our hearts move with compassion? Do our hearts move with compassion for the people sitting around you that are hurting just like you? Do we do as Jesus did and do something? Do we love the outcast? Do we have compassion and say, "Hey, dude, can I just pray for you?" Do you smile at people? Do you use this, right, for good things instead of tearing people down? Do you use your hands to uplift people instead of typing hate stuff, right? Like, guys, we need to be about Jesus. And we're reading here, he had compassion for his people. Do we have compassion for our own people? You know, and if I'm being honest, this is hard for me sometimes. You know, maybe that person's like, "Hey," and I'm like, "Oh, no. Hello," right? Like, I'm being honest. Sometimes there's people that are hard to love, right? There's people that are hard to love. And maybe we struggle with like, "Oh, I don't know what to do." But guys, maybe like take them out for lunch. Maybe buy them a Christmas present. Maybe get them a gift card. Say, "Hey, I was just thinking of you." Maybe pray for them in your quiet time. Maybe invite them to your small group. Maybe invite them to sit with you at lunch, guys. Every moment you have an opportunity to make it or break it. The story continues in John 6. And there's a character that plays such a huge role in this story that I think a lot of us overlook. So in John 6, it talks about the same exact story, but it's from John, his perspective. And in this story, he says, right, there was this lad. In the Greek, the word lad means little boy. And the Bible says that he has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. Like, I'm thinking about that. Dude, that's not even enough to feed, like, me, right? Let alone this little kid. Like, he had a Lunchable. Who gets full off a Lunchable, right? No one. You need at least 3 of them, okay? So there's this kid with his lunch. And what does he do? He gives his lunch up to Jesus. There's something so deep about that. You're like, yeah, whatever, he gave his lunch. But I'm like, no, there's this little boy. Let's dig at it. There's this little guy who knows what his home life is about. But obviously, he's here with Jesus. He heard about Jesus, so he left for the day. Maybe his mom packed him lunch. Maybe he went out and caught those fish, and they were the only ones he could catch. And maybe he was so excited. But he had this lunch, and they're like, man, what are we going to do? And this little boy says, hey, take my lunch. I love that, guys. Are we willing to give Jesus all we have? See, this lunch, this food, these two small fish and these five barley loaves were all this little boy had, and he gave them freely to Jesus. See, this little boy had obedience, right? He had practical obedience. He said, you know what? I don't have much, but all these people need to eat. You know, maybe you can do something with my lunch. See, guys, every moment, every opportunity, we have a moment to make it or break it. That little boy had a choice, right? Maybe he battled. Maybe for a second he said, oh, this is all I have. Like, I'm going to be hungry if I give it up. But then he said, oh, but I feel like I need to. He had a choice. Maybe he was battling. And every day, friend, we have a choice to either give God everything or to give him half, maybe to give him nothing. Guys, this little boy gave his lunch up and saw Jesus do something incredible. This little dude, man, he gave up everything and he saw Jesus give everything. You see what we read? It said that they had a bunch of baskets of leftovers. Everybody ate all they wanted. They were full. In Australia, we say chock-a-block means you're stuffed. Can everybody say that? One, two, three. Chock-a-block. Perfect. Take that. Tell your parents, no, I'm chock-a-block. They're like, what? Are you on drugs? Anyways. Guys, we need to be obedient. We need to give Jesus everything. Because when we are obedient, when we give God everything, he does something miraculous. There are moments of obedience that turn into lifetimes of abundance. Guys, in those opportunities, like I say, we have an opportunity to make it or break it. Has anybody ever felt regret? We're being honest tonight. I'm raising my hand. Regret, right? What's that? Let's put it in basic language. That means like, uh-oh, I shouldn't have done that. Like, I wish I wouldn't have done that. Guys, I've felt so much regret for my own sin, for my own bad choices. And it's the worst. But you see, guys, I don't want to ever feel regret again. And this time it's not because, oh, I wish I wouldn't have done that. I don't want to say, man, I wish I would have done that. I want to go out and I want to give all I have. Because if we look at the basics, the simplicity of the gospel, right? For God so loved the 7.4 billion that he gave his only son so that if they believe in him, they don't have to die, but they could live forever. That's the heart. God wants to save you. He wants to save the world. I'm going to heaven, but I want to take as many of you with me as I can. Are you going to heaven? Have you passed out all your tickets? Dude, I'm going to heaven. I'm going to see Jesus. Do you want to come with me? Not so simple, right? Because you see, guys, this is where it gets challenging. Every day at school, you have an opportunity to show people Jesus. Do you make it or do you break it? Are you on Saturday night here? Oh, I love Jesus. Let me just tweet Philippians 4:13, right? Like, oh, he's awesome. And then you go and you're posting half naked selfies and you're cussing and you're listening to terrible music and watching terrible things, right? This is real. A lot of you guys are there. You're like, oh, dude, don't give me that. I see right through it. I was there. Be real. If you're saying you're about Jesus, be about him. Because those opportunities every day, you're either showing them Jesus or you're showing them this fake God. So if you say you're a Christian, live it. If you don't want to be a Christian, cool, man. Your choice. It's a terrible one. But the reality is, my friend, I don't want to go around regretting things that I didn't do, but I knew I should have. God has a plan. He has a purpose. He has desires for you to go out and to be in the pursuit of people, to see them for who they are, that they are valuable and loved and beautifully made in the image of God. If you see people for what they are, for how God made them, you're going to have such a heart for them to say, you know what? You're kind of a pain and you're really annoying, but I see through it. And I just got to say, I love you. And I'm going to do all I can to show you that there's a God that loves you. See, guys, all of this obedience, what we're talking about, it requires one thing. For you to lay your life down. Once you come to Jesus, you're saying, God, take the keys. My house is no good. I need a full gut. I need a renovation. I need granite countertops and new plumbing and all this stuff, right? And he does it. But so often we get forgiven, then we say, hey, can I get those keys back? This is my house. That's not the way it works, friends. The reason we are here, the reason we were created is to have a relationship with God. It's not to go out and get famous and get lots of money and do all this crazy stuff. That's fun, and maybe there's some value to it if you're living for God and you're maybe being a good steward of the money and the fame, whatever, pointing people to Jesus. But the main thing we're here for is to have a relationship with God Almighty. So that's why Jesus came and he died, so that we could have that relationship restored. And that's why I preach, that's why I teach the Bible to you, that's why Kelly gets up here. Because we're being obedient to what God's saying. He's saying, you know what? These kids need me. They need God. And we see that, guys. So this is an encouragement. This is a call to action for us to be real, to be in the pursuit of people, to take advantage of the opportunities, to give everything to Jesus every day, just like that little boy saying, you know what? I don't have much, but take it, take everything. And he saw Jesus feed 5,000 plus people. Incredible. With two small fish and five barley loaves, what can God do with what you give him? And maybe you say, well, what could I give? Maybe your time. Maybe your gifts. Maybe you need to get rid of your smartphone. Maybe you need to smash every mirror in the house. Maybe you need to get rid of some friends that are kind of holding you down. Maybe you need to obey God in the small things, like obeying your parents, like loving them, respecting them, honoring them. I love my wife when she asks me to do the dishes. 9.9 times out of 10, I'm going to do the dishes, right? Because I love her. I want to bless her. I want to serve her. If you think, guys, God, he's our dad, man. Like, that's the simplest. He's our dad. Like, do you love your dad? Do you want to hang out with your dad? Do you want to spend time with your dad? And it's hard because, yeah, we can't see him, but we feel him and we hear him. So, guys, be real. Take advantage of the opportunities. The last thing you guys can write down is that we need to get up and go. Get up and go. Number one, the pursuit of people. Number two, make it or break it. Number three, get up and go. Because of the obedience of this little boy, a multitude was fed and shown the glory of God. Because of the obedience of Pastor Skip, who started this church 30 years ago, because of God's calling, a multitude has been fed. They've been given the word every single weekend. Because of the obedience of Pastor Kelly, right, teaching every single weekend. Because of the obedience of your leaders, you guys have someone to fall back on. You have someone that has your back. Take advantage of us. Don't just walk out those doors, guys. We want to get to know you. We want to pray with you. There's absolutely no judgment in this room. If you come to us, dude, we're going to put our arms around you. We're going to say, I'm sorry, that hurts, but here's what God can do. That's the truth, my friends. We're not here. I'm not up here. If I didn't have to be on here, I wouldn't, right? I'm on level ground with you guys. Guys, take advantage of the people that love you. Don't push them away. Don't push us away. I think if we didn't obey, where would we be? It's kind of a weird thought, eh? It's kind of like asking, well, if my parents didn't meet, where would, I wouldn't be here, right? It's one of those weird thoughts. And I just think, you know, my parents' story is such a cool story of obedience. Long story short, they both obeyed God. My mom grew up in Corrales, dude, this little village by the river in the middle of New Mexico. My dad grew up in Australia, right? Around the world, on the beach. It's wild. And they both felt this call to go to Hong Kong. They didn't know each other, but they obeyed. And they rock up, and my dad's like, yo, you know, I love Americans. And long story short, here I am, right? Sweet. And, you know, it's crazy because of their obedience to just pursue what God said, here I am, right? And God works in all ways. And I'm not saying that you're here because of your parents' obedience. You know, if they loved God and pursued him, great. If they didn't, great, you're still here. Beautiful. God works all things, what, for your good. So even if there is disobedience, my friends, God still loves you. He still is here for you. You're not an accident. You're not a mistake. Jeremiah in the Bible says that God knew you before you were even in the womb. How cool is that? Right? He says, I have plans for you. Plans to give you hope and a future, not to hurt you. It's beautiful. But I just think practically, if we didn't obey God, what would happen? I don't think we'd be meeting here in Spectrum, right? If maybe I went off to pursue professional skateboarding or something, right? It'd be sweet, but I wouldn't be able to hang out with you guys and to do this. So, with all that being said, know that you're here and it's ordained, man. That means that it's planned out. You're here right now for a reason. Hearing this for a reason. So that we can go out there for a reason, yeah? There's something that God has put something so strongly on my heart, friend. It makes me think of one of his last commandments. Jesus said that we need to go out to make disciples of all the earth. To go out and to make disciples. That word disciple basically just means to make a follower, to make a friend who loves someone, who wants to pursue someone. Specifically, it's God. So our call as leaders, my call as a pastor, Kelly's call as a pastor is to go out and to make disciples. Your calling as a child of God, as a future pastor, as a future wife, as a future husband, as a future dad, mom, skateboarder, musician, photographer, whatever it is, your calling is to go out and to make disciples. The easiest way to make a disciple, friends, is to see them for who they are. A valuable, real human being that has a heart, that has feelings, that has a soul. When we see people for who they are, our heart's going to break for them. Guys, we need to look deep. We need to look beneath the surface. Pray that God would give you eyes to see what he sees. Give you a heart that would break for what breaks his. To give you ears that would hear what he wants you to do. Guys, that's why we're doing Ding Dong Ditch. We want to be active. We don't just want to sit in these four walls. We want to go out and say, hey, there's people that are hurting that don't even have enough money for food. It's sad, dude. Here we are with cool hats and shoes and all you got is smartphones, right? But there's families even here that don't have enough money for food. But how would you know if you're just in your box? Guys, open up. Talk to each other. Be welcoming. Put your arm around each other. Say, dude, I'm really struggling. Can you pray? Sister, I'm really struggling with this. Can you pray? Guys, be active. Don't just sit, otherwise your faith will die. I don't want you guys to fade away. I don't want you to grow up and be a statistic, be locked up, be hooked on drugs, be dead. That could happen. That could happen to me. But by the grace of God, we continue. And we fight. So know that you're valued. Know that you're loved. Be in pursuit of people, friends. Be like that little boy who knew that if he gave up his small lunch, it would benefit a multitude. Know that what you give up to God is going to benefit this whole body. It's going to benefit your family. It's going to benefit your school. Because moments of obedience produce a lifetime of abundance, right? I'm not saying God's going to give you all this money. He's not going to give you all this wealth and health. But he's going to give you eternal life. That's what I want. I want to be with Jesus forever. I want to be with you guys forever. How cool, man. Skating down streets of gold. Chilling with Jesus and Paul, Abraham, David, each other. It's amazing, guys. So let's get our eyes off of right here. And let's put them up there. Let's keep our eyes on Jesus, guys. Let's not fade away. Let's stay active. Let's pursue him. I want to close with this. When I worked at Starbucks years ago, I remember they drilled into me, we're in the people business, not the coffee business. And part of being a barista was to know, like, hey, there's people that are valuable, right? Not only are they giving us money, but they're giving us their time. And so over time, I started to know names, to know drinks. I'd see, you know, Paul coming in. I'd say, hey, man, here's your drink ready for you. Right? Guys, we as Christians, we're in the people business. We're all about people. Let's be all about people. Let's know each other's names. Let's know each other's gifts, talents. Let's encourage one another. Let's not just be all about the numbers game, about how many friends we can bring, right? That's important because we want to be about numbers. We want to see heaven fuller, hell emptier. We want to see more people coming with us. So with all that, friends, we're in the people business. Stay active. Join a small group. Come talk to a leader if you need prayer. Keep coming to Spectrum. Come with us on Wednesday nights. Come sit with us in the sanctuary. Come sit with us Sundays. Come to Ding Dong Ditch. Be active. But also know that you don't need us to live out your calling. You don't need us to hold your hand. We're going to push you. But eventually, guys, we're going to say, you know what? This is something that you need to do because this is what God has called you to do. So in closing, we're here for you. We love you. Stay active. Let your faith grow. Don't let it die. Be in the pursuit of people. Make it or break it. Remember, you have an opportunity to let your light shine. So do it. And lastly, get up and go. I'm not saying right now, but after we're done, get up and go. Yeah, it's Saturday night, but go and tell someone you love them. Go and buy your friend dinner. I don't know. But pray, friends, how you can be used by God. And do it. Lord, thank you for this word. God, this is something we all need to hear. Because the truth is, we're weak, Lord. We're messy. And as good as it is, Father, to hear this, I pray that it would stick with us. That we would be a real, living body that makes a difference. That lives out our mission to go and make disciples. That goes to love people. That doesn't just fade away and pass away in the background, God. But that we'd be at the forefront of the battle line, storming the gates of hell. God, we know that nothing can come against us if we're in you. There's always victory. We always win, God. Because you do. You're the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Alpha, Omega, beginning, the end, the first, the last. God, you're everything. Help us to see that. Help us to live it. We love you. Amen.